Yo, super traders, welcome to the Ask Me Anything podcast with me, your host, Ryan Carruthers. I've just come fresh from the BTC weekly meeting, so I've just met with Adam and Martin, which is really, really cool, and now I'm recording this podcast for you, which is really cool. So if you don't know what this podcast is, this is the Ask Me Anything podcast where I get questions from you guys, normal people, normal traders, and I try my best to absolutely answer them. I also sometimes don't always know the answers to the questions because sometimes you ask me something that I don't have that much experience in. So I will, I'll just give you my honest answer to that. And I normally do start with something from the James Clear newsletter, which is what I'm going to do with today. Okay. Right now, the question. This is a question on the James Clear newsletter. I really like the James Clear newsletter. It is three ideas, two quotes, and one question. And I subscribe to this. It's free. And I think everybody should actually be on this email list because James Clear wrote a really, really good book called Atomic Habits. I always want to say Hobbits. And it's just really, really good. It really does get you thinking. So the question that the one I picked today was from the question from this last week's one, and it was, what if you stop looking for new ideas and simply focused on the best idea you have right now? Which I always try to attribute this to trading. What happens if you stop looking for a new strategy and simply focused on the best strategy you think you had right now? What would happen? What would happen if you dedicated all of your time, effort, and energy to that one strategy? That one strategy that, you know, you're sort of not really putting all the time onto. Why are you looking to move on? Why are you looking to add a new strategy, okay? Yeah. So you think about that. We're going to go into the Ask Me Anything now. So we're going to go do. First one comes from Alex. Okay, three questions are always the same. What are you struggling with when it comes to trading? Anything else you want to ask me? And are you a member of BTC or not? Alex is a member of BTC. And Alex asks, getting matched. No, it's not for Tinder. Do you have any tips for giving your bet the best possible chance of getting matched when there is a massive gap between prices or very low liquidity hours before the game? A lot of time I set and forget, and due to work life commitments, it's not always possible to check the bets before they off. Any little tricks or advice would be great. Well, I think the first thing to note is there is no tip to or trick to get matched when it's low liquidity. If there isn't liquidity in the market, it's difficult to get matched. The only thing that will help you get matched is more liquidity. If there isn't any, then you are going to struggle. I also, when it comes to low liquidity matches, I just move on. I don't actually bother with them because I've just found over the years that, oh, it's great. If I want to use a £100 stake, for example, and I get £10 of that matched, it's like, oh, hang on. Is this worth my effort now? Because my stake's been reduced by 90%, and if there's low liquidity, am I going to be able to get out? And if I do get my £100 matched, can I actually get out, which is the big risk? And if I can't get out and I've got all my stake matched, then I'm really in a precarious position, especially if I'm like laying the draw for £100 or £200 or whatever. So I just tend to avoid the low liquidity matches because sometimes you can get the liquidity will come in and you're able to get matched, but there isn't the liquidity to get out. Now, if it's just a set and forget, that's not always a problem, but just something to bear in mind that if you are actually trading it, if you can't get out, then it is a bit tricky. If it is a set and forget, you know, you can just leave it. And if it gets matched, great. If not, then great. You know, because it doesn't really impact too much. But as far as I know, there's no sort of tips or tricks to actually getting matched. Like I say, I haven't spent loads and loads of time using low liquidity markets because I've always just sort of moved on from them and gone, nah, do you know what? I'm not going to bother with the low liquidity. I'm going to do something else. So yeah, there you go. Hopefully that helps you. Is there anything else you want to ask me? If you are managing a large bankroll, where is the best place to keep it and move it to and from Betfair? How often should you draw down or add funds? And do you get penalised by a bank or Betfair for moving large sums of money in and out of Betfair? Cheers. Okay, so this is one that could change. As we all know, the government and the betting companies are, you know, asking for more information, probably reducing deposit amounts, asking for more information upon you. So what a lot of people used to do, myself included, was I'd have probably a big chunk of my Betfair bank in Betfair. Okay, had it in Betfair with two factor on it, so I knew it was safe. And then I would have like probably the 60% of it in something else, like Skrill or, you know, one of those kind of things. And I would only ever then move in more if I needed to. Okay, and then I used to sort of have a goal in mind, a sort of monetary goal, that was like the bank, and then anything over that I would withdraw. That I'd actually withdraw a percentage of that, and I'd leave some in just to keep the bank growing, and also for rainy day sort of trading fund, and also if I wanted to test another strategy and I wanted to test it with stakes, then I would have some money, you know, to attribute towards that. Or what I used to do a long time ago, now not in a long time, I used to be part of a syndicate. I paid to have access to a syndicate, and then they very often would say, "Oh, we've been trialing this new thing for 6 months. Do you want to go with it? Add it to your syndicate, to your money, your portfolio." And I say, "Yeah, okay." And this was just straight betting syndicate. And then I go, "Okay, well, you know, I've been saving 10% of my profit every month, so I will attribute X to that strategy now, to see how it goes." So I don't know. If you're managing a large bankroll, the best place to keep it is tricky now, because you are going to be limited on what you can. You will be limited soon. Some of you already are on what you can actually put into Betfair. So, you know, if you was putting in $2,000 and then you needed to use all of that for like a week's trade, and you ran out or whatever, you need to put more in, and your bank was $20,000 or whatever, then you're gonna struggle. So, I think you're going to have to probably have more in your Betfair account, or funnel more in as you can, and probably keep as much in there as you actually can. This is just sort of my advice and my thinking on it. Other people might have different views and different opinions on that, but I think you need two-factor authentication on there as well. You need every single security check that you can. I would have the strongest password in the world, so you can use things like, is it Norton, do like a password creator. You want a password that's going to be literally uncrackable. And I would also probably change the username as well, so it's something totally unrelated, just to make that as safe as possible. Now, when you are moving money into your account, I have actually had this numerous times with a bank. I have had to, when I'm going for, say, a mortgage and different bits and bobs like that, I have had to show them full bank statements, and I tend to not put the money in my main bank account. So I show them my main bank account, and I'll have my Betfair money going into another bank account. It used to actually be really good because PayPal did a card, so you could actually just put the money into PayPal and then you could use the PayPal card. But if the bank do pick up on it that you do have another bank account, they may ask you what it's for, and you may have to explain that you trade on Betfair, and you then need to show them. And it is a conversation, and the mortgage advisor will be able to best help you on this and best sort of position it. But I had to show them that basically there was no deposits to Betfair. So you could see that I wasn't actually depositing money from my main accounts into Betfair. I was only taking withdrawals from Betfair. So you could see that I was actually profitable. Now, they didn't really change anything for me. They looked at my credit score and everything else that was fine. And it was all right. But yeah, you just do need to be a little bit aware of that. Because if you are, and that's another one of the reasons why I moved to quarterly drops into paying myself quarterly with my Betfair tradings, because it just delayed those drops. But the bank can still see it. So it's just a conversation, and you need to have that that conversation with your mortgage advisor about that. And they might even have advice for you on that. My mortgage advisor was really good, and he just had a conversation with the bank and said, look, you can clearly see that this person isn't depositing lots and lots of money into Betfair every single month. So they're not a gambler. They don't have a problem. And they have other income, et cetera, et cetera. So that helps to do that. So yeah, that's just my sort of advice and two pence on that. But I don't know how that's going to impact or how that is going to change going forward based on, you know, different changes that the government are trying to implement and that kind of thing. So I can't, that's literally the best answer I can give you right now. But if, you know, if anything changes or if anything from my own experience changes, then I'll quite happily share it with all of you guys and we can see. So Tom was a previous member is the next question. I've been using spreadsheets for about 6 months to record my trades. I'm sure I could be making more use of them. Have you got any tips? So my tips when it comes to spreadsheets are to keep it as simple as possible. So I'm not actually that great with spreadsheets, okay? But then you've got people in the community like John Folan, Mark Maguire, who are actually pretty good with spreadsheets. But the way that I see spreadsheets and I see how they can impact your trading is just basically set up a simple spreadsheet to track your results, to track your trading, to track all of those kind of things, okay? Everything you need. And then just use it, okay? Because what's going to happen is you're going to start to go, oh, I wish my spreadsheet could do this, or God, if only if it could do that. Then what you can do is you can actually go to Google and say, I need a spreadsheet that can, you know, build a table or can read something from one tab and then do it in another. Okay, cool. Then there'll be a YouTube video on how to do that. So I just think use spreadsheets how you know how to use them right now. Okay, because if you try and get too complex too soon, you just won't use it. And the big half of the battle with trading is using a spreadsheet to track your results and also to like paper trade your ideas. So just keep it really, really simple so it works for you, so you get what you need out of it. And then whenever you think, oh, actually, do you know what? I really wish it could do this. Then from that section, that is where you can then go, ah, hang on a minute. I could go and look for this then. And then there'll be something out there, you know, maybe it's like Miss Spreadsheet or Miss Excel, whatever she's called. She'll give you some tips. I mean, they're also good places to look at, you know, looking at people like that, because it's real short form content and you go, oh, hang on a minute, that actually might help. And there's loads and loads of experts out there. But for me, I just keep my spreadsheets really, really simple. And when I feel like, oh, actually, it'd be really, really cool if I could do that, then I try and find the answer. I also, I go to websites like Upwork and I find someone who's a spreadsheet master. I've got a guy, well, I had a guy in Italy who was just like, he could do anything on a spreadsheet. And I just message him and say, look, this is what I want to do on the spreadsheet. Can it be done? And he would say yes or no. And if he said yes, I'd say, how much would it cost me? And he'd be like, oh, I'll set that up for 20 quid for you. Because it'd take me an hour. And I'd be like, okay, cool. I'll pay you 20 quid. You set it up. Record me a Loom video of how I am not to mess it up, okay? Right, or make sure that you colour the cells I am not allowed to touch red and the ones I am allowed to touch green, okay? So I know you just touch the green ones, Ryan, do not touch the red ones. Also, lock those red ones and then send me a Loom video on how to use this spreadsheet. And I did that for ages, because for me, I didn't also want to get good at spreadsheets. And I just thought for 20 quid, I might as well pay someone who can do it. It'll take him an hour. It'll probably take me an hour to watch the video. I'll have to try and create the spreadsheet alongside watching the video. So I'll watch the video once, twice, three times. I'll be pausing, playing. I'm like, right, I'll just find someone on Upwork who does spreadsheets basically for a living and let them do what they're good at. So yeah, that's what I feel on spreadsheets. Is there anything else you want to ask me? What is your favourite book and what are you reading right now? Oh, I'll answer both that twice. Okay, so favourite book is Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Right, I love that book. The film's not that great, but I love that book. Like, do with that what you will. There is other YouTube channels out there that will probably take that and try and turn it against me. But that is my favourite book. And one of my favourite questions actually to ask people is, if you could relive the moment, if you could forget a book the second that you've finished it because you want to relive the moment of reading that book for the first time, what would be that book? And if you want to get involved in this, you can tweet me at BetfairTC and tell me what that book would be. Now, for me, that's Harry Potter, the whole series. I would love to be able to dive into my brain and pull out the memory of reading Harry Potter so I could relive it again for the first time, because it's a phenomenal series and I loved it. But The Prisoner of Azkaban, especially, really, really, really good. I love that book. Now, what I'm reading at the minute, I am actually reading two books, okay? So one book I'm reading is Just Keep Buying by Nick Magulli. I've just butchered his name. And that is basically about how we cannot time the market. So just keep buying into your index funds and in your investments. So dollar cost averaging, just keep buying every single month, every single month, every single month. And it goes into like the history of things like the S&P 500 and different bits and bobs like that. And you know about how if you got out after the worst trading day, you'd actually miss the best trading day. So when everyone else is being fearful, if you just keep buying and keep buying and keep buying and take the longer term view, you will actually come out way on top over the longer term. And I like that. And I'm also reading Creativity Inc., which is the story of Pixar, Disney Pixar. Really, really good book was Ride of a Lifetime, which was Bob Iger, which was the CEO of Disney, and he was in charge when they did the mergers and the acquisitions of a Fox and also, was it Fox? I think it was. And also like ESPN and Pixar, which was amazing. But this is like the story of how Pixar was created and how they managed a big team of creatives, and just, you know, stories about some of the films and how they worked on them. I love Disney and I love Pixar and I love the films, I love the story, I love all that element. And just to sort of hear the backstory of those films, and you know how they come up, how Disney, because Disney's an amazing organization, so is Pixar, but how they actually, you know, came up with different ideas. And this guy worked at Lucasfilm, and you know, they were really like thought leaders with computers and what they were trying to do with film. So, you know, just like hearing stories of Inside Out, where, you know, they actually made the main character glow when she was happy. And I never really realized that when I watched that film, and how sadness actually looks like a teardrop. And this just sort of like went straight over my head, but it's the attention to detail and the little nuances that were just amazing. And also talking about when they did Toy Story, and especially, was it Toy Story 2, and Woody had to make the choice, you know, to either stay a collectible or go back to Andy. And they had a real issue because they thought that the audience wouldn't buy that that Woody needed to make that choice, because basically it's a Disney film. So with it being a Disney film, you always think it's going to end well. So they did two little elements to increase the tension and sort of up the stakes. So at the start of the film, Woody gets broken, his arm gets broken, he gets put on a shelf. And then out of the shelf, out from behind a book, a dusty book, comes a penguin covered in dust that doesn't squeak anymore. And I think they call him Wheezy. And then that sort of implants in your mind, oh, actually, Andy does discard toys that are broken. That's the first thing. So that increases the stakes. And you go, well, Woody might not actually make this choice because remember Wheezy? And then also they used Jessie, and Jessie told a story of how her little girl basically just discarded her. And then that's another one that just sort of really emphasizes the point and increases the stakes. And I think that's really, really interesting. And I love that. I love books. I read relentlessly. I love it. I have lots and lots of different books that I that read, I could probably actually talk about books for a long time. In fact, it's funny because in the BTC weekly meeting, we have a section where we actually call it personal development, and we talk about the books that we're all reading. So me and Adam Martin will share what we're reading and the different takeaways we have from that. And I think Adam's just about to, in the next couple of weeks, put a thread up on the forum talking about the books that he's read and the takeaways he's got and, you know, that kind of thing. Because I think books hold a, books for me are amazing because you really, I prefer reading a book than actually like watching a video series on something, because I feel like it's really personal. It's really, you're hearing from that person. It's like you're having a one-on-one conversation with them, where, and it's also less likely I'll get distracted. I know my own mind. And I do try to read minimum of 5 pages of a book a day. I went through a couple of years ago, I did 25 pages a day minimum. I now have 2 children, 25 pages is a lot harder, but I do 5 pages, and it always is more. It's always 10 or 15, sometimes it's up to 25. But it's amazing how you can actually get through so many books doing that, and just the changes of perspective and ideas that you have. And I get so many ideas for trading. You know, I've also read things like Nassim Taleb, Fooled by Randomness, Skin in the Game, and they're really, really good. You know, like Fooled by Randomness, talking about how, and I feel like I'm going off on a tangent now, but hopefully this is really, really good stuff. But Fooled by Randomness talks about how, you know, your life can be just random, and you can be fooled by the randomness of it. And it gives examples of, you could live your life 100 times over and it could be different every time. But some people, you know, and it gives an example of a stockbroker in America against a dentist. So there is a, picture this, there's a really, really nice upscale neighborhood in New York, okay? And there's 2 houses, house one and house two. In house one is a dentist. In house two is a stockbroker. Now, these houses are very expensive, very affluent. You have to have a lot of money to live there. Now, if we take the dentist, okay, that's a 3rd or 4th generation dentist, okay? His life is not actually going to be that random. The chances of him actually becoming a dentist, because his great-grandfather was a dentist, his grandfather was a dentist, his dad was a dentist, the chances of him becoming a dentist are not actually that random, okay? They're not that random. But then next door to him, in the same sort of house, in the same affluent area, same sort of value, we have a stockbroker who is the richest person in his family ever. You know, his dad never went to college or university. His mum never did either. He's the first person in his family to do that. His life is completely random. He could live his life over 100 times and probably never be a stockbroker again. Whereas if the dentist lived his life over 100 times, how many times out of the 100 would he be a dentist? And that's really interesting when you think about trading as well, because you can then think about, you know, when you're pricing up a match, or you're looking at value and all those kind of things, you know, how, if this game was played 100 times, how many times would Inter Milan beat AC Milan or whatever it might be? And then you can try and attribute a number to that. And then you can see if that number actually matches in the odds. And it's quite a good way of looking at it. So yeah, that's a good book, Fooled by Randomness. There's loads. I could probably do a whole podcast just on chatting about books, and talking about the smart thinking behind books. And I think it's really, really interesting. I'd love to know, if you guys want to email me in as well, some of your favourite books, I'd love that. info@betfairtradingcommunity. If you put in the subject line FAO Ryan, maybe book, and just tell me your favourite books, that'd be amazing, because then I'll have a whole new list of books to potentially listen to, read, sorry. And also, if there is any podcast that you like, then please do let me know. You know, I'll just sort of pack this podcast out even more. Some of the podcasts that I really like are, I listen to a lot of like business marketing ones, but I do also like My First Million. It's a really, really good podcast where 2 guys basically share stories of big companies. So Pornhub was on there, which was like a mental story, but they also share, you know, they interview people that have built really, really big companies. So they had the husband of the Spanx founder on, and he was the guy who lived with David Goggins, you know, the book Living with the Seal. And that was really amazing to see you know, his insight. And they ask them really crazy questions as well, like, what do you spend your money on? What's your, how much money do you spend a month? Where do you invest your money? Where do you, like, how do you not avoid taxes, but how do you, like, pay the least in tax? Which I'm not really bothered about that kind of stuff, but I like how, just seeing how they actually spend their money, what they spend it on, and just hearing the story of how these people actually made their money, their outlook on life, their outlook on investing, and how they look at, you know, how they look at certain different elements as well. you know, how they look at, you know, oh, I lost some money there. Oh, okay, well, but then how they feel about that, you know, and what they did to bounce back and how they reacted to that. I think it's amazing. Really, really, really interesting. So I'm going to leave it there, wrap this podcast up. That's all of the questions. If you do have any questions, you know what to do. Fill in the form. If you haven't got the form, if you email in at Betfair Trading Community, we will give you the form. Okay, you can have it. I recommend that you save it and you use this all of the time because it's a free resource. I am going to be switching the podcast up a little bit in the coming weeks. So I would love to get your feedback on that. And I think I'm not going to tell you what the podcast, the idea I have with the podcast, okay? What I'm actually going to do is say to you, if you listen to this podcast and you like it and you actually want to be one of the people that I speak to about, you know, the ideas that I have with the podcast, then please email in info@betfairtradingcommunity.com. Okay, info@betfairtradingcommunity.com, and then just put FAO Ryan podcast feedback. Okay, that's what I want you to do. You do that, and then I will email you back, and I'll tell you a little bit more about the ideas that I have for the podcast and sort of what I want to do. I know there's a couple of people who've already done this, so they'll already know. What I'm thinking. So I will catch you next week. I hope you have a fantastic week and I will see you very, very soon.